Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi and welcome to Big Little Shrine. For those of you who listen on Apple Podcasts, we had been bunking in with Shrine of Duty for a little while, but we're all grown up now.
We got our own feed.
Yeah.
Brenton, don't forget to introduce yourself.
Oh, hi, I'm Brenton.
Hi, I'm Hannah. And you may notice that we don't have a third voice this week. It's really sad.
It's really weird.
I know, there's a weird energy in the room because Rebecca is in Rome.
Oh, she is.
She's on her holidays.
Eating her pasta.
Yeah, loads of pasta, loads of pizza, all the carbs, having the time of her life.
All the creme.
All the creme. Meanwhile, we're in Dublin. It hasn't stopped raining for a week. And I went onto my Apple weather app today and there's thunderstorm emojis for next week. So
fab.
That's the kind of June you get in Ireland.
Amazing. So we are in our own feed now on Apple Podcasts. So you may need to subscribe to that one.
This one. Yeah, this one.
God. In my head, I'm trying to think like I'm inside the computer.
We're inside the new feed right now.
We are.
And if you're listening to this, if there's anyone out there, subscribe to it.
Is there anybody out there?
Is there anybody out there? Please give us 5-star review if you like.
If you're that way inclined.
Yeah, but you don't even need to write anything because sometimes that's a big ask. Just hit the 5th star.
Yeah, just hit the 5th star.
Yeah, and submit.
And subscribe to this podcast.
Where we are now.
Yeah. So that you hear more of us. Episode 2 of Big Little Lies.
Yes.
Season 2.
Yes.
Renata has rapidly become my favourite of the Monterey Five. Plenty of laughs this week. Some tears as well.
I bawled.
Yeah.
At a couple of points, and I actually I moved house this week, so I had a lot going on in the evenings. And I had a mad week. I didn't get to watch live. Reb was actually the person behind our fabulous live tweets last Monday, so I watched it on the bus coming into work on Tuesday.
Oh god.
And it's my new bus route, so I'm trying to make bus friends and you know, like, not look like a maniac. I was bawling, crying at the bus.
Did you make any friends?
No, absolutely not. They probably think I'm crazy, Brendan, staring at my phone, bawling, crying. Okay, well, we get into the recap.
Yeah.
All right, so this week's episode, it was called Tell Tale Hearts, and there's a lot to uncover here. So episode 2 opens with a sleepy Celeste driving through a forest. She closes her eyes for a second, and all of a sudden she's crashed into a metal bar in her big, stunning Monterey Jeep, and the airbag has exploded into her face. They did that thing where a woman, when she's meant to look tired or unhappy, you can see it in her makeup.
Yeah.
But that's all good. She's wrecked. So the police come, quickly followed by Madeline. And Celeste explains that she couldn't sleep, so she took a tablet, but she did pass a breathalyzer test, so she's allowed to go straight home. So it's all good. So when Maddie is driving Celeste home, they pass a really disorientated looking Bonnie who claims she's on a hike. Maddie makes a comment about Bonnie being unwell and vows to get her daughter Abigail out of the house. But like, again, she just isn't being very nice to her.
No, not at all. She was like, are you on drugs or something?
Yeah.
And Bonnie was like, no, I'm on a hike.
Yeah, and like, of course she's not on drugs. It's like, why are they pretending that?
I think that Madeline she's either genuinely thick and doesn't think that it's a big issue. Sure, like, of course you can't. You have to think it is. But it's like she's completely decompartmentalized, like disassociated herself from what they were all involved in.
Maybe that's what it is, because sometimes I'm like, it's coming off like I don't like her because you're being so rude.
Cold
to Bonnie, who has your daughter in her house. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as much as you don't like Nathan, and also I thought they were all going to be bonded after what happened on trivia night, but I think you're right. It's just they're using her interactions with Bonnie to show how removed Madeline is from reality, and that she's just not okay.
And I would have thought they would have all been really bonded With a little bit of extra sympathy for Bonnie, because Bonnie was the one that pushed him.
So did I, because when we saw the trailer at the start of this season and we see them in a car talking, I actually didn't realise that Bonnie isn't in that car. So she's very removed from like the Jane, Celeste, Renata, Maddie crew. Like, she's totally on her own, and it should be the complete opposite, because as we discussed last week, she's the one that will blow the whistle on all of this.
Yeah.
And then Maddie goes in because she lied. Okay, Renata and Gordon get coffee in one of my new favourite scenes. She's just off the phone with her publicist, who has told her that she will be on the cover of the number one women's magazine in the US, a fucking A. However, the celebrations are cut short as Gordon is arrested by the FBI. Renata has an absolute fit and Gordon tells her to call Walter now.
Yeah, I love that, like, people in all these kind of shows just have solicitors or legal people that they can call on by first name.
Oh,
it's like, call Walter.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I also love how, like, that's in the first 4 minutes. So how much has happened there? We've had one of the main characters in a crash. We've had one of the secondary characters be arrested by the FBI, and we're 4 minutes in and these are subplots. So I just love how fast it is. It's almost camp, isn't it? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, but they're pulling it off. So then as Gordon is getting arrested by the FBI, Detective Adrian Quinlan drives slowly by the scene. Put an asterisk there.
They see me rolling.
Literally, like. So Maddie drops Celeste home, where she has another showdown with Mary Louise. Like, poor Celeste comes into the house. Mary Louise goes, "You went out like that?" And Celeste said, "I had to. It was an emergency." And Mary Louise says, "What kind of emergency?" And Madeline goes, "The kind short people have."
Not one to hold a grudge at all.
So quick. So this exchange then goes back and forth for a while, and it ends up Maddie calling Mary Louise a fucking weirdo.
Because she says it kind of under her breath, walking away. And then Mary Louise is like, "What did you say?"
Yeah, and she throws the best looks. Also, sorry to just sidetrack for a second, but I've developed a new laugh, right? And like, I've started snorting when I laugh. But I swear to God, this has only happened in the last 2 weeks. I didn't know you could just have a new laugh at 28 years of age. So if I snort on this podcast,
okay.
It's my new laugh. Okay, Corey asks Jane on a practice date. She calls him very strange and he calls her tolerant, friendly and really pretty.
I kind of like the way he did that, though. It's a bit of a cop out, but like, it's a way to do it if you don't feel brave enough. You're like, "Let's do a practice date." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" Because he's like, "Then if it goes well, we'll do a real one."
I was like,
"That's a bit cheeky." I like it.
Yeah, he's very cute. Meanwhile, Skye and Bonnie are driving in the car. She asks Bonnie if her and Nathan are getting a divorce, because she's obviously picking up on all the trauma in the
house.
Yeah, because Skye is totally shut down in this episode. And who drives past slowly? Only Detective Adrian Quinlan.
They see me rolling.
Literally. Celeste visits her therapist as she's still missing Perry. And as an exercise, Dr. Reisman asked Celeste to imagine Perry abusing Madeline rather than her, which...
It was really interesting and tough to watch.
Yeah.
Because you could see her, the cogs in her head turn and go, "I wouldn't stand for this for anyone else, so why did I stand for it for myself?"
I swear to God, I was watching that and I was like, that is such a good technique.
Yeah,
I'm using that for, say, like, if a friend rings you with a problem, or the boyfriend. I was like, "Would you let him speak to me?"
The exact same thing.
Yeah, I was like,
"Banked that
one. Can't wait to roll out that one now." Yeah. Be a great friend. So yeah, she does that, and it kind of results in Celeste letting out this like guttural roar at imagining her best friend being kicked on the ground, essentially. Renata visits Gordon jail. He's in the orange.
Sorry. I can't. I love her.
He explains, so basically he made a big bet to short some stock. So it looks like he put a dodgy company that he knew was dodgy down on the table as a bet to attempt to make more money out of the stock market. He knew the company was bust, but no one else did. And that's obviously a federal issue in the
States.
Thanks
for explaining that, because I didn't fully understand what he had done.
I thought you were being sarcastic there for a second. I was like,
serious.
I watched that 3 times to understand what he did. So yeah, he says he made a big bet to short some stock. I kind of understand what that means, because I watched the, what's that film?
Oh, The Big Short.
It's called The Big Short.
Yeah,
I'm second guessing myself. It's called The Big Short. Like 5 times to try and understand how the recession happened. So yeah, and then he explains that he bet a company which he knew was bust and no one else did, and then the FBI found out, so he got arrested. But yeah, so he also, though, Beth the Ranch. So I'm presuming the ranch he's referring to where they live.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It must have once been a ranch. It's obviously a mansion now. And he says there will be civil lawsuits to follow. But like, he's trying to keep so calm. And he's like, Amabella's trust is safe. Amabella's trust is safe. Renata couldn't give a flying fuck of an Amabella's trust. She's set to lose her entire estate. And she screams, I will not be rich.
This is so good. This is the second that I started loving her. Like,
this is meltdown mode.
Since last week with her like poolside photo shoot and it's my house. I was like, oh, I'm into Renata this season. And as of this episode, she's my favourite.
Yeah, same. They've mixed her up this season big time.
Yeah, she's overtaken Madeline as like the...
I agree. And it's a really clever decision because Madeline was that character last year who was really over the top and ridiculous, but you were kind of still on her side. But this season, obviously, with everything that we're about to talk about with Ed, she has to be a little bit sadder. Like, she just has to be. So they've switched that energy over to Renata, which is
And it is
hilarious.
Working.
And it's off the back of Gordon, like, not... He hasn't said sorry. Like, he... doesn't care, I don't think, what he's doing.
He tried to kind of like play it down. Like, he tried to say it to her as if it wasn't a big deal.
Like, you're in jail. Like, you're in an orange jumpsuit. Like, give a shit.
It's a bit like I went through a very short phase of being an absolute brat in school, and I was put on report. And the way I came home to my mother and sold it was, oh, so it's just like one A4 page now every day that you have to sign instead of looking at my journal every day. Like, I try to spin it as if like, oh, this, it's fine. It's not really that big a deal. And she
so
was
do
like,
you think?
I know exactly what this is and this is a big deal.
So do you think that's what he's doing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on the other side of the fence. I think he couldn't care less. Now, obviously, we saw him drinking in the room. Actually, last episode, shout out to Reb because she called this, didn't she? Do you remember last week she said, I feel if she's here, wouldn't hear the end of it.
She literally
said, from the split second we saw Gordon up in the room drinking alone when Renata
Alarm
was doing
bells.
The photo shoot, Reb goes, he's lost all their money.
Yeah, she did.
She's so intuitive when it comes to TV shows. It's beyond me. Like, I would have watched that 3 times and never guessed this.
Reb, if you're listening, have another pasta.
Have another pasta on us and an Aperol spritz.
Oh, yeah.
And then a gelato.
A glass of vino. Yeah, lovely.
Okay, Bonnie's parents are in town after getting a call from Nathan. Bonnie is unimpressed and the pair argue in the garden. Nathan explains that his divorce with Madeline taught him that marriage was very fragile and that it can all go away at any time. And then he says to her, I don't know where you're gone, but you're not here. Now, fair enough, right? She's totally closed off. And I actually appreciate Nathan having actually done something this episode rather than just go to Ed and be really rude to everyone. But he still annoys me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Renata fills Maddie in on Gordon's arrest, so they're down at the school. She reveals that Detective Quinlan was there at the time and the FBI seized her computer and other personal items like, phones and all this sort of stuff, and Maddie looks so panicked.
Yeah.
I'm calling her Maddie now because Madeline's just too long. Is that okay?
Sure, I'm down with it, yep.
Okay. Celeste's twins bring up their dad's loss at school and she worries about them and has a chat with their teacher. Back at home then, she has a conversation with Mary Louise. So she admits what really happened that morning on the drive before the accident, and Mary Louise reveals that she'll be renting an apartment in Monterey. So they discuss Madeline and Mary Louise says, I don't like her, she's not a likeable person.
Just to reinforce that.
Like, it's the best lines ever. Celeste tries to convince her otherwise and says, did I ever tell you that she once saved Max from drowning? It's just gold. And Mary Louise goes, where were you? It's just, how is she so quick? Yeah. How is that your reaction?
Yeah.
Like, if you're...
Your reaction would be, oh my God, what an amazing
person.
She looked for the next negative.
The next dig that she could have. And it's so quick.
Where were you?
The twins fight outside. And it breaks up this conversation with Mary Louise and Celeste. When Celeste attempts to split them up, Max tells her to fuck off. And she pushes him to the floor screaming, you will not be like him. Now, this is the first incident where you see Mary Louise break the kind of unbreakable, very calm but strong face, and she is shocked.
Did you pick up on your 3 watches? Like elements of when the 2 boys were fighting outside, they were on the deck, but weren't they near a steps or a stairs? did I make up that there was a steps or a stairs there, and they were kind of shoving each other, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh my god, I got chills there. Yeah. Now, I didn't pick up on that, but I know from her back garden that you stepped down into the seated area.
So I think they were on the deck right outside the patio door, and they were like fighting near a flight of stairs.
And when that little child turned around and told her to fuck off, oh my god.
Rude.
Like, that was a moment, wasn't it? And also, I was like, I wonder what that child's parents, you know, Max is the name of the character, but the actor in real life, that's a bit mad, isn't
it? And she was like, you will not be like him.
Yeah, she lost it and she shoved
him. She was angry and she was panicked and she was terrified.
Yeah, and also I think there's definitely a bit of PTSD there, and she totally just flashed back to the night and everything. Okay, Bonnie and her mother Elizabeth walk in the forest. She tries to get her daughter to tell her what's been going on. Meanwhile, at the school, Nathan and Ed have another strange conversation. What the fuck was that conversation? So Ed is minding his own business. Nathan comes up to him again and starts to, this is after calling them a snide fuck. That's the last time we know that they've conversed. He comes up to him again and he's kind of having a go at him again. I'm kind of getting the vibe that Nathan doesn't have anyone to talk to. I don't think he has any friends in Monterey. Yeah. And as much as he absolutely hates Ed, I think he really likes him as well. And I think he sees him as a friend, because that conversation, it's like, he's almost trying to talk to him and then he has to slag him really quickly because he's embarrassed by trying to be friends with him.
Yeah, I just don't know why you would turn to the current husband of your ex-wife.
Yeah, I just think
for
he's
advice or help.
A severely lonely person, to be honest. So Gordon appears in court and is charged with security fraud, wire fraud and mail fraud, but he does get out on bond, so he will be sentenced, but he's out. Bonnie and Nathan have an awkward dinner with her parents, where it's implied that Bonnie's mother has a drinking problem or had a drinking problem at one point. Very, like, top line, we don't go into it. Now, this is really interesting. Celeste has a daydream about Perry while she's cutting up vegetables in the kitchen. And it's revealed that she's an only child, whose mother has died, and she's not close to her dad. This leads him to say, now, I don't mean to be presumptuous. Sorry, it's not a daydream. It's a daydream to a memory of when they were on a date. He says, now, I don't mean to be presumptuous, but if this works out, I would have you all to myself. And we also learn from that memory that Perry had a brother who died when he was 5. Now, if he didn't kill him, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Or if his dad didn't kill him, or if Mary Louise didn't kill him, there's no way that death was accidental or that that was just in there for filler.
Yeah, and I think that Mary Louise, like, just talks about her perfect son a little bit too much.
Couldn't agree more. Mary Louise interrupts Celeste's memory to reveal the twins have just told her they have a brother. And I love this so much, because Celeste is literally like, so she's chopping vegetables, then she's in her own head having this daydream, this nice memory. Then Mary Louise is behind her and it's not, can I speak to you for a minute, or what the fuck, I just, it's like, Celeste, the boys just told me they have a brother and it's Ziggy, and the child is in their school, and Perry seems to have fathered the son, and it's so calm. And Celeste is like, what?
Yeah.
Which is great, because I think that's exactly the same reaction we're having as an audience. So Celeste looks absolutely shocked, and it turns out that Chloe overheard Madeline on the phone and decided to tell the twins. So she got the bug from her mother's DNA, which is the nosiness and must be involved with everything.
Body.
But she doesn't have the maturity level to know when too much is too much.
Yeah.
And she has really overstepped the line here. Like, I nearly died for Madeline and Ed when I found out that was them, because I'm like, imagine your child did that and how many lives it affects now, and the conversation Jane has to have with her 7-8-year-old son as a result. So this leads Jane to have a devastating conversation with Ziggy. Oh, it's actually
so heartbreaking.
This is a bit where I cried, because it's just so innocent on his part. So Ziggy confesses that Chloe told Ziggy that Mr. Wright, what he says is, Chloe told me that Mr. Wright gave you salt, he salted you. And I'm like, oh, I was like, oh my god, like, she fucking told him everything. So it turns out that Chloe overheard the word assault.
Yeah.
So Jane says that. She says, come here, you know, she kind of snuggles him into her, and then she says, I think what Chloe overheard was the word assault. And Ziggy said, what does that mean? And Jane just closes her eyes and starts to cry, and the scene cuts, because you don't need to see anymore.
No.
That's enough.
No.
It's their private conversation and their private moment. And I'm also like, how do you even begin to write that scene?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it was just crazy. And that was the bit where I was crying on my new bus route. It was so sad, wasn't it?
It was really, really heartbreaking. And I think, like you say, it was in a way kind of nice that they left it there, that we didn't hear the kind of, I suppose, childlike way that she would explain that to him, and how far she wanted to go into it.
And like how the acting on both of their parts, and like what a tense, a tender moment as well, because I'm sure Shailene Woodley as an actress is very aware that Ziggy is quite a young kid, and acting or not, like it's still a pretty... It's intense.
Yeah.
Okay, in the next scene... Okay, yeah, I want to ask you about this. So Ed fights with Madeline for not telling him about Ziggy's father. I don't think he had any right to be angry about her over that.
No, I suppose I get... Is that coming off him being frustrated in general, though? Because what else did... No, that hasn't come yet.
I know he feels like she's keeping things from her and there's issues in the marriage, and I'm sure, yeah, if they were in a great place, maybe that would come up. But I'm like, sorry, you have absolutely no right. Like, Jane, yeah, you're... You know her, and Ziggy's in your kid's class, and I get all that, but that's again an extremely private matter between Jane and Celeste.
I don't think it is something that, if I was Maddie, that I would tell him.
I thought the exact same thing. I was like, if I was in that situation, there's no way I would be telling anyone that didn't need to know. I don't think it's anyone's business. And I get his argument is like, you know, we're married, we share everything, but I don't really think that.
Yeah,
is
no.
The
if
case.
It was a bit of funny gossip, or you know, a bit of scandal that was like, wait till you hear this juice.
Yeah.
Then yeah, I probably would have told you. But actually, how do you even begin to just strike up that conversation?
So I thought that was quite weird. Okay, so Celeste and Mary Louise have a conversation about Jane's assault, which Mary Louise keeps referring to as an affair. And Celeste is like, no, excuse me, it was a rape.
Yeah.
So Celeste reveals she found out about the assault on the night that Perry died. And Mary Louise is like, excuse me, her suspicions have grown. The trust is completely gone. Now, in fairness, from Mary Louise's point of view, it's not looking good. Do you know what I mean? I can see where she's coming from. I'm not on her side.
110% I can see where... I can see her point of view. Absolutely.
And like, I know Celeste has gone through a lot, but getting in the car and driving it into a metal pole and nearly hurting herself is a cause of worry. And if there was kids in that house, you just would be cause for concern. Okay, so Bonnie's mother creeps into her room while she and Nathan sleeps and leaves three objects on her bedside locker, which appear to be a bone, a feather and a crystal. Nathan spots her as he leaves. Celeste and Jane meet for a chat, and Jane explains she has fully told Ziggy about the night he was conceived. And Celeste is initially kind of annoyed about this because she doesn't want the twins to know. And Jane is like, well, as much as you want to protect them, I want to protect my son.
Yeah.
And I think there's no bad blood there. They both understand where each other's coming from. Maddie and Bonnie chat at the school, and Bonnie agrees that Abigail should come home.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He then says, and we've seen this in the trailer for the season, it's going to get us, it's going to get us all. Madeline asks, who are you talking about? And Bonnie says, the lie. So she's just not okay. She admits that she can't really be looking after Abigail or giving her what she needs, I think.
Yeah, they both agreed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Abigail is coming home. Renata drives Gordon home after he's released on bail. Has a full breakdown.
This is my favourite scene of the episode.
Iconic.
By far.
Throws him out of the car before then doing the biggest U-turn, changing her mind and collecting him, but like in complete silence. He doesn't even say anything when he gets back in.
Well, I love the way like there's like a queue of traffic built up because she just stops the car in the middle of like a busy like what might be a motorway.
It's like a freeway.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a freeway, right? Stops the car. She's just like, get out of the fucking car, get out of the fucking car, get out of the fucking car. He eventually has no choice but to get out, and then everyone behind her is like beeping so loud. And then she just sticks, you just see from the back, from behind the car, you just see her like finger, middle finger coming out the back of the sunroof. And she just goes, can a woman get a minute?
Yeah, it's so good. And, then, and that's after her line where she, I don't know, he must have said something and she goes, well, I used to enjoy sitting on your face. I won't be doing that again. It's something like that. And it's so fucking good. So she's just lost it. So Abigail is back at home and she and Maddie chat in the kitchen. They're talking about college again. Madeline just won't let it go. And Abigail brings up that Maddie isn't so perfect and that she cheated on Ed. But he overheard them. It was the second time I cried during this episode because of his face. And you're just like,
yeah,
it's just so unfair. Like, it's just so unfair. So basically Abigail said, but you were fucking a theatre director. Ed is standing in the doorway of the kitchen and said, what's this about fucking a theatre director? And Madeline nearly dies. She said, you misheard that. And Ed just grabs his keys and she goes, where are you going? And he goes, to get my ears checked. What a line.
Yeah, what a line. But also, isn't it interesting the way that he instantly put two and two together and knew.
Oh, he knew before. This was confirmation of his. That's the thing I think that's so heartbreaking. It's because I think he gave her so many ins.
Yeah.
And he fucking knew from trivia night, from all the weird looks, from her behaviour, from your one Tory. And it's just, yeah, he didn't need to say it twice. Like, he knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor old Steady Eddie.
Poor Steady Eddie. And then Abigail says, she just looks at her mom and said, you said he wasn't home. So Celeste is sitting at the back of her gorgeous mansion and she explains to the twins that they're going to meet Ziggy. They don't really understand because they're like, Mom, we've met him, he's in our school. And she's like, no, you're going to meet him as your brother. And then she reassures them that their father was a wonderful man. So that's the route she's taken. She's their mother. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know what else you can really do in that situation, but she's going to try and uphold their view of their dad, I guess. Ed returns home and him and Madeline have a chat. She tries to apologise to him in the worst apology ever. So she just keeps saying to him, it's nothing to do with you. It isn't about you. It's about me.
Such a shit apology. It wasn't even an apology.
I don't think she said sorry
once. No.
Yeah, so there's two things that annoy me about this. So she goes, it isn't about you. It's about me. She said that a couple of times. But then right after that, she goes, it's about us, right? So it's like, okay, it's not his fault. It's all about you. Madeline's world. Madeline gets all the decisions and it's all on you. And then she's like, actually, no, it's about us. And that kind of puts it back on him. And I'm like, no, your affair isn't about... Like, I understand that maybe their marriage wasn't plain sailing, but you fucked up, like, and that's it at the end of the day.
I don't think she's madly in love with Ed at all. I don't think she wants to be with him. And even from the first series when they were, like, down at the beach and she said, oh, you know... Nathan went and, you know, he got everything. He got it all.
Yeah, he got it all.
Ed was like, oh, yeah, well, what do I then?
Yeah, exactly. And also, when Ed leaves the room before she starts bawling crying, I was like, is that like a look of a bit of relief on her face? Like, it's finally over. Or that's my out. But then I think it backtracked.
Okay.
So I'm not sure. But no, there's no chemistry between them and it's nothing to do with the acting.
No.
Because they're both incredible actors. It's to do with the fact that there isn't meant to be chemistry between them.
I don't think they'll be together by the end.
I don't think so. So Ed says it's over and he leaves again. Bonnie chats with her mom. She has what I think is the crystal, the bone and the feather. So she's brought them downstairs from her room and tells her mother that she doesn't want any of this in her family's life. Then Bonnie's mother tells her daughter that she's been having strong visions. She's seeing lots of water and somebody is drowning. asterisk that. So it appears that Bonnie's mum is some kind of witch doctor or...
some kind of reb.
Some kind, exactly.
A little bit like our Rebecca.
Here. Some Rebecca said she was psychic.
She
and
gets
to be honest,
visions.
Yeah, Rebecca knows this sort of stuff, so I'm just going to go with the term psychic.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episode ends with Nathan confronting Bonnie as a worried Sky looks on from the house. Zane, Ziggy, Celeste and the twins hang out. It's really cute, actually. And the twins bring a cake over to the...
So that's where I bawled crying.
Really?
Yeah, I just thought that was...
powerful.
So powerful. Like, and the way... the twins looked at, they looked at him so, and like, yeah, they met him loads of times, but the way they looked at him, they were kind of like really inquisitive, and it was just the way that they interacted changed.
And there's a bit where both women are sitting down at a table on the floor and the kids are on the other side and they're both crying, but they're both crying for completely different reasons in completely different ways. Like, I think Celeste is so heartbroken and she can't believe what her family was a year ago and what her family is now, and then I think Jane just has all this, I just think she feels so maybe guilty, or but she shouldn't, obviously, but of all the stuff that she's had to put on Ziggy, like, I think she has a lot of regret of how it happens and stuff like that. So I just find that really, that seemed really powerful.
I think there's
powerful.
A bit of relief there as well, and also probably like a bit of like hope, because they're just like, oh, well, like, hopefully we can make something good out of this. They can all be pals.
And Celeste kind of touches her on the arm and I just felt, wow, like, they're two powerful moms that are going to figure this out, and they have each other and a kind of like a sisterhood bond as well. I think they felt, God, we're actually not alone, like, we have this whole, this is what's come out of the,
I thought it was a fab scene, the darkness. I loved it.
I really loved it. And there was no absolutely no words, just over music. It was really lovely. Maddie cries into a glass of wine, and then the very last scene,
same.
Yes. Madeline is sitting in her back garden watching the sea. The credits roll to the backing track of Ed's rendition of Elvis Presley, The Wonder of You, that he sung dedicated
so
to
fab.
His wife on trivia night.
Yeah.
What a way to end the
what
episode
end
in which they split up.
Yeah. Amazing recap.
Thank
Seriously,
you.
Seriously, well done. All the detail.
Thank you very much.
I loved that episode.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only been two so far, but like, my favourite.
Well, I didn't expect to get that much so early on. I did not expect Ed to find out that Madeline had cheated.
No.
I did absolutely didn't expect Mary Louise to find out that she had another grandchild.
Yeah.
Or even at that point, 10 minutes later, have Jane discussing it with Ziggy, and then have Jane, Ziggy, Max, is the other kid
the
called
twins?
Joel?
I don't know.
Let's
I
go
just
with
keep
the
calling
twins.
Them the twins.
Because Max is the one that all the attention has been on. I think it's Joel and Celeste in a room together. So there's a couple of things that I thought would be nearly season finale, season two bits. But we've got them already. So I'm a bit interested to see where things go.
Where is it going to go? I wonder, is Bonnie's like a fragility kind of being made too much of a thing of, that like there could be a curveball, like the whole... I think that the whole thing is going to collapse, like the house of cards is going to come down. But it could be somebody completely left of field who's the one to just like pull that little cube out of the Jenga.
Yeah, I agree
it's
with
Jenga,
you.
Jenga, isn't it? That
it
one.
It is Jenga the tower. Yeah, I agree, because I just feel like, I'm a bit unsure about where it's going to go, to be honest with you.
Also, can we go back to the conversation between Bonnie and her mother?
Yeah.
And I think it was around the time when she said she was having visions.
Yeah.
And she said to Bonnie, what have you done this time?
I didn't pick up on that at all.
She either used the words, what have you done this time, or what have you done now?
Okay, implying that something's been done
before. And it was implied that Bonnie has done something very bad or sinister or, something wrong before.
Well, then I take back what I literally just said 30 seconds ago, but I don't see where this is going. I think coming back to Bonnie grabbing her neck.
Yeah.
And the talk, which was at the end of season one, episode 7, she grabs her neck when Perry falls. And there's been a couple of discussions and someone tweeted us, I'm really sorry I don't have the name, a couple of weeks ago, that she may have grabbed her neck as a result of Perry breaking his neck. And it was just a kind of a like, oh, kind of reaction.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I think there's more to it, because she does it again on the beach when she's looking at the sea. Her mother is speaking about drowning a lot. When you're drowning someone, you're probably holding them under by their neck or by their shoulders. So, and then you've just told me that, which I did not pick up on.
Yeah.
So that's going to come back into it. And also, I think Perry's background. So this whole thing about Perry having a brother who died mm-hmm. when he was five, that's going to come back into it as well. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Do we think Mary Louise is going to march? Because she did, didn't she say she was going to speak to the police? She was like, well, there's a few things you left out. She was like, you left out the fact that you found out that he had another child. You left out the fact that, you know, he'd been abusive, you know.
She is going to speak to the police because there is a clip.
Go on.
Which I can bring you through. So it is called Big Little Lies in the Weeks Ahead. So it's not necessarily a trailer for next week. It's more random clips from the next five episodes. So I'll bring you through it.
Go on.
Bonnie walks towards the sea. Now, this is very random.
Like,
it's like
flash, flash, flash.
With random kind of people speaking over it. And sometimes I could pick up on who it was and some sentences I don't know. So this is going to be a bit all over the place. But here we go. Bonnie walks towards the sea. Madeline watches the water from her back door. Celeste showers. Renata twists her wedding ring. Jane dances with Corey. Somebody says there are things your mother doesn't ever need to know. A woman's voice. Renata says to Gordon, what did I do? Gordon says, you tell me. Madeline, I think, addresses the school. She seems to be on stage and it looks like she's speaking at a school assembly. She says, where do we even begin? There aren't a lot of happy endings for a lot of people, you know. Madeline then says, everything, and this is like over another scene, everything feels like it's unraveling. At a 70s themed party, Celeste says, if I could do it again, I wouldn't lie. Mary Louise turns up to speak to Ziggy and Jane. Bonnie's mom is holding her under the water in a pool. Now, Bonnie is really, really young. She looks maybe like 5 or 6. She's in a little swimsuit. And I watched it like 2 or 3 times. It looks really sinister. But then again, it's not. It's like in the middle of the day. It seems to be an outdoor swimming pool. And I think she could just be teaching her like maybe confidence in the water.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It could also be the way we've seen with Celeste. It could be a flashback to something that actually didn't happen.
Yeah. And sorry, when I say Bonnie and Bonnie's mother, I'm presuming this is Bonnie and Bonnie's mother because it looks like Bonnie's mother and the child is looks like Bonnie.
Yeah, okay.
All that talk of drowning, I think it has to be them. Then we see Bonnie fully in the sea and she seems to be hunched over a little bit. Bonnie now in this timeline. Celeste hooks up with someone in a really raunchy scene. He looks gorgeous.
Celeste.
Flash straight after that is Perry looking around a corner. Then somebody says, I'm going to presume it's Celeste, but I couldn't make it out. People can move on after a tragedy, just not together. Mary Louise talks to Detective Quinlan. So to go back to what you just said, they're sitting in a police station and she says, you don't believe my son just slipped, do you? And Detective Quinlan looks suspicious and it cuts.
Oh, and Mary Louise is probably running her chain along her chin.
What was that?
I love that.
What was that? Like, she obviously...
Because she's literally standing around trying to crack the case. And it's just when she's thinking, she just runs the chain along her chin. It's just her way of, like, thinking intently.
But it just shows, like, you're such a good actor at that stage in your career. If you're, serving up these lines, standing across from Reese Witherspoon, killing it, and then also able to put in little character beats like that that just feel real natural.
And all with your teeth in.
And all with the teeth in. any juicy bits for us?
So, juicy bit. Okay, now.
I'm going to sit back.
This
now
comes with a little asterisk.
We love an asterisk here, Big Little Shrine.
So, this is far-fetched, but this is a theory. And we love a theory here at Big Little Shrine.
Yeah, if anyone has come over from Big Little Shrine, Shrine of Judy, you will know that we love a far-fetched theory. They're my favourite.
Yeah.
The more off the wall, the better.
I mean, look, it's what keeps us going, to be honest.
Literally. Oh, I'm excited. Okay.
So this theory comes from purewow.com and it was written by Greta Hegenes. I'm really sorry. I've absolutely butchered your surname.
Butchered.
Yeah. Pat butchered. So Greta says, during last night's episode of Big Little Lies, it became clear that Bonnie is in over her head after pushing Perry to his death at trivia night. While the show is leading us to believe the father of two, and then two is crossed out, three is deceased, which I love, we can't help but wonder if we should be looking further into the fact that someone mysterious is lurking around Monterey, and that someone could be Perry.
Sorry,
are you still with me? I told you it's a bit off the wall.
Excuse me.
But I love it. Okay, it's important to point out that we're all well aware Perry appeared to be dead at the end of season two, at the end of season one, that should say. Nevertheless, we feel like there's more to the story. It would be a long shot to say that Perry isn't deceased after all, but it wouldn't be completely impossible. For example, in
season... Please give me an example, because the man's neck was in two.
For example, in season two of Big Little Lies, someone appears to be watching the Monterey Five, Bonnie, Madeline, Celeste, Jane and Renata. Yes, it could easily be the police. However, they don't appear to be tracking the group of housewives, apart from occasionally reviewing their interview tapes from the night of the murder. And besides, the mysterious man-woman nearly rear-ended Bonnie while Skye was in the car, so we highly doubt it's police activity.
It's Detective Adrian Quinlan. Like, it actually is, though.
This leads us to another possibility. The internet seems to think that if Perry isn't alive, he might have a twin
yes,
that we don't know about. Yeah, because twins like run in
yes!
like a hereditary. Picture this. Perry has a long lost sibling. I love this.
Or the brother that died when he was five, doing air quotes.
So Perry has a long lost sibling. This is like imagining. Who seemingly reappears after his brother's mysterious death. No, Mary Louise has never mentioned any other children, but we can't deny that it will be a fantastic plot twist, something this show is known for. While it's a bit far-fetched, we're all for anything involving more Alexander Skarsgård, absolutely. Season 2 of Big Little Lies airs on Sundays.
I was just about to say, so when you were talking about that, I was like, no, now we know for a fact that the person watching the Monterey Five on the beach is Detective Adrian Quinlan. Also, we know that the person driving around following Renata is Quinlan as well. And it's the, because she confirms it to Madeline, and it's the exact same car that tail ends Bonnie. So I'm like, okay, I'm not there for that part of it. And I do think he's very, very dead. However,
very, very dead.
He's very dead. No, he's really dead. However, I was about to cut across you and say possibility of a twin.
Yeah.
I think this show is off the wall enough to pull it off. Like, they did a car crash and what else was it at the very start of this episode? In the first 2 seconds we had a car crash and the FBI Gordon getting arrested. Yeah. So I would love it. I hope we get a real twist, a real scream at the TV moment.
I think we will.
And if they brought back Adrian Skarsgård to literally play his own twin, I would not have a problem with that.
Absolutely not.
I would be so there for that, the believability of it and everything.
As long as his twin is nicer.
Oh my God, yeah. Or, yeah, or just a psychotic.
Yeah, I definitely think, though, next week, next episode, we're going to find out more about his sibling or siblings.
I think we're going to have to. That was a little breadcrumb put in there for
And
us.
Mary Louise definitely doesn't think that her son was an angel.
No, she doesn't. This is all acting.
Yeah.
I want to see a scene where Mary Louise gets her apartment and she has a day at Celeste's house being pretending everything is perfect, and then she goes back to the apartment and she sits down and she has a little breakdown because she cannot keep up the facade.
She pours a whiskey and lifts the glass with a bit of a shaky hand.
Exactly, because she cannot keep up the facade. And it's funny that she doesn't like Madeline, because Madeline is someone that's doing the exact same thing as her, which is this keeping up appearances, everything is fine, blah blah blah. I have no doubt Madeline will be up at that school with Ed in episode 3 telling everyone Ed's great and telling everyone this, that and the other, because that's what she's like. So it's funny because it's that kind of thing of you see something about yourself that you don't like in someone else, and therefore you don't like them.
But also, it is a case of, I think, apart from Jane, and I suppose Bonnie isn't really arsed, but like Celeste, Renata, Madeline, they're all keeping up appearances. They all have their own individual shit shows going on, but outside it's like, oh, everything here in Monterey is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's not.
Absolutely not. Will I tell you what's going to happen next week?
Please do.
Okay, so season 2, episode 3 is going to be called The End of the World, which I think is going to be juicy. So just 4 quick pointers on it. Mary Louise tries to get closer to Jane. So that is the clip that you will see in Big Little Lies the weeks ahead. I'm sure I watched that at the end of the HBO episode. Yeah. Comes up at the end. Doesn't come up at the end if you're on Now TV or anything like that. But I presume you can get it on YouTube. You'll see a flash. Jane and Ziggy seem to be at like a car dealership, and Mary Louise turns up and she just smiles, and you can just know that she's there to get to know her grandson. Renata focuses her wrath on Principal Nepal, I'm going to say, but it is spelled N-I-P-P-A-L. So is that man's name Principal Nipple? Because that's, I did not notice that before.
Wow.
Yeah. Madeline is forced to confront her issues at couples therapy. So Ed has given it a go.
Okay.
And Celeste struggles with her memories of Perry. I think she's struggling with her memories of Perry because she's going to hook up with a really hot guy from this clip in next week's episode.
I'm there for that. And her counsellor told her she needed to get under another man to get over the last one.
She did. And the counsellor just seemed to be doing good work to help her. So I would just do what that woman says, to be honest
also,
with you.
Also, totally using that technique of the next time a friend calls in distress.
So
I'm definitely using it.
So am I.
How would you feel about that if our friend...
If I... No, me.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, make yeah. it about me.
Make it all
would
about
you
me.
Make it, let's make it all about me.
Guys, I nearly did a snort again. What is going on?
I'm hanging around for that new laugh. I can't wait to see it. Hear it.
It's in there. It's in there somewhere.
Okay, well, seeing as though it's all about us, that's it for this week for a Big Little Shrine. We're off to just talk about ourselves now.
And you know what's a little bit sad? I'm on my holobops for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so next week I'm going to be in Glastonbury and the week after that I'm going to be in Portugal. So
life. Oh, my God. And then I think the week after that I think I'm away.
Are you joking?
Are we not going to see each other for like a
Brendan,
month?
Brendan, we'll have to go for a coffee.
We'll have to check our dates.
So we're going to have a few interesting episodes coming up where different people are popping in and out, but we'll try and keep it together.
I hope Reb is back from Rome or else I'll be sitting here talking to myself. So we don't know who will be here next week, but for this week that is it for Big Little Shrine. Don't forget to search for Big Little Shrine on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast, but we're inside the computer so you're already here. I'm finding it really hard to get my head around
that. Concept.
I'm so sorry.
Brendan, a podcaster.
Me, a podcaster. You can also email us your thoughts and theories because we love a theory, no matter how bonkers they are. The more bonkers, the better.
Oh, please.
Please email us shrinepod@gmail.com. And you can also find us at ShrinePod on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, yeah, so I will be back in 3 weeks. You'll be here next week, Brendan, hopefully not alone.
Yep, fingers crossed.
And yeah, I can't wait to hear how everything goes down.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.